Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber, StuWeb.com, and it is Tuesday, July the 6th, 2021. I hope everybody had a good 4th of July a couple of days ago. I know I did. I had some good food. Anyway, with that said, I have Professor James Fetcher on with me. Also, I have Professor Joe on with me. And, I'll let Jim lead the pack here, but, you know, you mentioned about Donald Rumsfeld. I was going to put a thing up there. Donald Rumsfeld meets Satan. Every time one of these New World Order pigs die, Jim, I try to get their name in lights with Satan. But he was a filthy, disgusting person. With that said, welcome, Jim Fetcher. Welcome, Joe. And, Jim, I'm going to let you pick it up.
Well, Stu, you certainly got the right idea. Donald Rumsfeld has died at 88 years old. He's described as a longtime military thinker in Washington, power breaker, but he was also a traitor to the United States. Most Americans only dimly recall that on 9/10, the day before 9/11, Rumsfeld announced that $2.3 trillion was missing from the Pentagon budget. The controller, the chief financial officer at the time, was Deb Zockheim, who's not only a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen, but even a rabbi, who had a company that produced remote control units to take over aircraft. For example, if they were hijacked, or to hijack an aircraft if you were so disposed. Rumsfeld made the announcement as though he knew something were going to intervene in the meanwhile, and he could waltz into the halls of Congress the following day and ask for hundreds of billions more in defense spending. After making the announcement, Rumsfeld directed the section chief to bring all the documents and records related to the missing $2.3 trillion to the West Wing, which had recently been reinforced, the only wing of the Pentagon to undergo this, and therefore was largely bereft of personnel and property. Except for the budget chief, all the records and the accountants and budget experts related, when I looked at the list of 125 alleged Pentagon casualties, I was astonished that 36 of them were experts related to the inquiry into the missing $2.3 trillion, where a global hawk approached the building, which was not hit by any plane, and fired a missile into the West Wing, killing them. It was a very clever move. Donald Trump was complicit in 9/11, along with Dick Cheney, who appears to have been the executive director, where their counterparts in Israel were Ehud Olmert and Bibi Netanyahu, who appear to have been the brain trust behind 9/11, which was designed to draw the United States into the Middle East in order to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region, and eventually to confront a Persian nation of Iran, Israel's nemesis forever, it would seem. Where their spite for Iran knows no bounds, and where they're doing everything they can to deceive and mislead the world about who are the bad guys in the Middle East, because I guarantee you 100% it's not the Iranians.
No, I'm in agreement with you. What you said about Rumsfeld 9/11 is very true and accurate. You know, Catherine Fitz was sent in to clean up HUD and under Jack Kemp when he became the HUD director. Secretary HUD, after I got rid of the others in the HUD scandal, they got, you know, kicked out. Anyway, he's in there. He's telling her to cover things up and keeping her at bay and everything from doing her investigation and reorganize it. Well, that didn't happen. She ended up leaving. Years later, Al Martin and I and Steven Dinnerstein helped her. Al Martin's Iran-Contra whistleblower. I got his book published, Conspirators. Anyway, we all helped her. And because when she left the government, she set up Solari. And the government had apparently Al Gore underneath that was the only thing he got accomplished underneath Clinton's, was that he got a bill enacted that if you could show the government how to save, say, $5 billion, they'll give you a percentage of the first savings that they do by changing something. So she shows them how to do it. And it was a real estate deal to where she was supposed to be paid about $3.5 million. She didn't get her money. And she had a couple other people who didn't get paid as a result. Well, we tried to help her and she wouldn't take it. She had an attorney and she later got screwed. I mean, it was just a long story, but she's written about in the book Bushwhacked. But she had found that 2.3 trillion or 3.2 trillion. She found that missing long before 9/11.
Yes, it was used to cover it up, Stu. You're 100% correct. Let me mention that on a new channel called AmericanMediaPeriscope.net, Scott Bennett, who's a former Army Intel and PSYOPs officer, is hosting shows called The Great Awakenings. And on episode 5, he had me introduce issues about 9/11, how the crash sites were fabricated and fake, about how the World Trade Center was destroyed and who was responsible and why. That was on originally the 25th of June, and we had a sequel on the 30th of June, and finally on the 2nd of July, we had an overview, including Joe Olson, who's a professional engineer qualified in structural, civil, mechanical, and electrical, talking about how the Twin Towers were destroyed, and Mike Harris, who's a brilliant political analyst as well. So you can find all that on AmericaMediaPeriscope.net.
Yeah, Scott's a good guy. Cynthia McKinney, former congresswoman of Georgia, you know, that she didn't pass the test because she wouldn't take the APEC agreement signed for Israel first over America. There's a radio interview for the listeners. It's on my first radio bar down towards the bottom. It's one of Scott and Cynthia where we brought him public. But she's, you know Cynthia McKinney.
Of course.
Okay. Well, anyway, Scott's a great guy like you are and Joe is and so forth. But I just want to add that, you know, his attorney is Sidney Powell. And he helped General Flynn, and General Flynn was a good friend of my friend, Super Spook, Otis Johnson. But with that said, go ahead, Jim.
I thought you might want Joel to come in here, but there's a lot of information there that all ties together. So if you want to see substantiation of every point I've made, you can find it right there on AmericaMediaPeriscope.net.
So Joel, why don't you kick in? What's your feeling of this?
Well, we have more information, of course, on the 9/11. And one of the little tidbits that was overlooked is a truck that was pulled over by a New York policeman.
Try to talk into your mic a little bit better if you can, Joe. It's coming up.
All right.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. There are little tidbits out there that has been overlooked in the whole 9/11 thing and Rumsfeld and stuff like that. And that is, a New York City police officer pulled over a truck that had painted on the side of it a jet airplane, flying into a tower. And when he pulled the truck over and opened it, it was full of demolition. And this is at the Washington Bridge. And so they later found out that not only were the planes going to be crashing into the building, but there were certain individuals that were going to blow up the Washington State Bridge, plus the coaxial cable that led out of Wall Street.
I remember something about that, Joe, about that truck. Wasn't that where they led it back to the Israelis?
Well, it turned out that the driver was an Israeli, but it was on the Fort Lee side of the river. And, of course, what was significant are the items that they found, and then, of course, they found demolition that had already been attached to the Washington Bridge there on the Fort Lee side.
Now, after 9/11, I mean on the day of 9/11 or shortly thereafter, they arrested, how many was it, Jim and Joe? I think it was about 30 Israelis, and they called them the dancing Israelis, and they were dressed up as Arabs, some of them, and they caught them and so on and so forth, and they held them for 30 days, and then they turned them loose and said they all went back to Israel.
Well, it was five dancing Israelis in the Liberty State Park who were cheering and photographing the destruction of the Twin Towers and taking selfies, and they were arrested by the police and said, we are not the problem. Our problem is your problem. The Palestinians are the problem. were explosive residue, passports, money, box cutters in the vehicle, which had a painting on the side of a plane hitting the Twin Towers. I mean, it was outrageous. They were held, I believe, for 71 days until then Assistant Attorney General Michael Chertoff released them. And they returned to Israel, where three of them were on Israeli television and explained they'd been there to document the destruction of the World Trade Center, which obviously entailed prior knowledge of the events that take place.
Well, you know, before 9-1-1, I tell you once again, old Otis, he worked for General Flynn right to the end before they murdered him, and then Flynn got fired. But he told me, don't worry about Mueller. If he doesn't do his job and prosecute Hildebeest, he used to call her, like I did, Hildebeest, Hillary Clinton, for her fake dossier, and she doesn't go to jail, he said Mueller find himself in prison. Now, he worked for Casey, and he tried to bust him, and they killed Casey, and then he ended up at E-System, stuck there for a while underneath Daddy Bush's watch. But he told me a lot of things, and one of the things he said was, Stu, he says, they will have total control over everybody, total control, and he says, everybody be walking around with a cell phone, and he says, if you don't have the chip out, they can triangulate down on you. Your computers, if you're driving your car, you're going to be chipped. Everything will have a chip in it. And this was way back in the middle 2005, 6, 7, something like that. He says, everything. He said, by the year 2020, everything will be chipped and they will be able to monitor you, see you, without you even knowing it.
Guys, I got all that right. He's got all that right.
Anyway. There was some more that I had a brain fart, and I apologize, but there was something else I was going to tie into what you were talking about, Jim. But he told me he told me that 9-1-1 was going to happen. And he told me that in late May. He said, they're plotting a plan that Bush is. He said, they're going to pull a terrorist attack, another Oklahoma City type event. I said, really, when's it going to happen? He said, sometime between June, about the middle of June to the end of August at the latest. And people were putting me on the radio all over the place. I still got recordings of it. And then that little stooge, Alex Jones, comes out in July after he'd heard me all over the radio talking about it. Oh, I hear there might be a terrorist attack. My inside sources are telling me. He comes out with a spin doctor on me, trying to put credit to him after I'd pushed it out. And it turned around, and nobody put me on the radio for between the end of August until 9/11, and then suddenly I had 45 phone calls in about 3 hours. Come on the radio with me, Stu. No, I can't do it. I got to monitor things. And the next day I found out from Otis they dropped it with the death ray out there at Groom Lake and E-Systems, Raytheon Corp, and its death ray that Raymond Lavis, who worked for Ted Gunderson, who Alex Jones used to put on Slander Me, put on Gunderson, Division Number 5 FBI troll stooge that was kicked out of the FBI because he was paranoid schizophrenia and diagnosed and kicked out early. Anyway, this clown used to get on Alex Jones, and Alex Jones was promoting. But here was the deal. I put out that 9-1-1 was going to happen in advance, and it did. And it was because of Otis. People hear things, and he hated Bush. He tried to do everything he could to bust Bush. And I know several people like that. Do you know what inspector generals are, Jim?
Sure.
Okay. You got one for each agency. Like you have one for the Justice Department, one for, you know, to cover the FBI, Justice Department, et cetera. You got one for HUD. You got one for, you know, banking or whatever. You got an inspector general for each, for agencies of government. Then you have what's called United States inspector generals. They are the top inspector general, and there's only been about 30 of them ever in the history of the United States. They usually run terms of 8 to 12 years. I sat at a pool party at Otis's place with two former United States inspector generals at a pool party when I was working on a house down the street from it. With that said, Joe, you want to pick it up for a minute or add to it?
Yeah, there's... There is another thing that appeared much, much, much later concerning 9/11, and that was a picture of the Israeli art students on the 91st floor, because they had one window that they had taken out with a plank sticking out the window.
You got that right, Joe. Go ahead.
And they all had their backs to the camera. Whoever took the picture was taking his chances. And the Israelis were standing next to these boxes, and you could make it out very clearly, detonators.
They were actually fuse holders, but I believe they were used to hold detonation to create the cookie cutter cutouts on the facades of the building, because no real planes could have entered the building. They would have crumpled external to the building and fallen to the ground, yeah. So they had to fake it.
Yeah,
that's something I discuss in detail in these presentations with Scott Bennett.
Yeah, John Lear is a friend of mine. His dad built the saucers. They owned Learjet, his dad did. John was a CIA pilot, Vietnam, et cetera, and he did some government stuff, test site, Groom Lake. But here's the point. I got to know him, became good friends with him in Vegas. Rodney Stitch became good friends because of me with him, wrote all the books, Defrauding America, Drugging America, a whole bunch of books. John's dad built U.S. military flying saucers between 1952 and 1959, and I asked him on the air one time, so John, how many saucers did your dad build? About 150. Because Otis and his U.S. Inspector General buddy had told me they built 150 of them. He says, yeah, around that amount. Around 150 is what I heard from my dad. I said, okay, that's fair. And those are military saucers that go out and put a rocket on a meteor that's coming at us like one's coming at us now. They're saying 60 miles across. Pretty big. It's coming at planet Earth. They've just been saying the past couple of days. Might check on folks. But here's the point. We are in... phrases. We're in a time frame to where everything is either evil and or it's good. One of the two. And everybody's going to have to pitch in and start doing something to clean up the problem. Jim and I know we're getting tired. Scott's a good friend of mine, Bennett. General Flynn, I put Otis on an airplane in Grand Island with him. He knows who I am. Sidney Powell knows who I am. They know who Jim Fetzer is. They know who Joe is. Now, there's certain people out here standing on rooftops yelling and screaming like I do, like Joe does, like Jim Fetzer does, but we're not seeing any action. There is some action by the American people over Trump and what has happened with the election, and in my opinion, there will be some stuff released by Sidney Powell in court and so forth. There will be some actions by the end of the year, but what's going to come of it, who knows? Look, they pushed the President of the United States out of office right in front of everybody, and they put this pedophile, Biden, in office. The powers are very powerful. The only thing that's going to stop them is us, the American people. Now, amazing1.com, there's a picture of an energy weapon on my site, silent and deadly, I call it. It will kill somebody if you shoot them with it. $150. Silent and deadly. Tesla toys. Up the yin yang. Sold off amazing1.com. The American people need to be arming up other than just weapons. I know guns are going, $300-$400, Jim? Something like that. Plus. These are $150 and they're silent and deadly. Anyway, you might want to get one, folks. Jim? Continue with your report, would you please?
Well, sure, absolutely, Stu. I've been working with Joe Olson, whom, as I mentioned, was on the show because he did a presentation for me on the destruction of the Twin Towers on 9/11, which was a very sophisticated nuclear event, which you can find also available at falseflagconspiracies2020.com. Well, I made all the presentations available for free. So you can go there and download Joe Olson's presentation, or you can go to BitChute channel Jim Fetzer, and you can find I've also got it there, archived there. Well, Joe points out that after we've had several discussions of what happened in Florida with this condominium, that it was of a type of construction that is really probably not very terribly secure, but that if you compare the controlled demolition, we know the last section of the condo, which was done in a remarkably short period of time, considering all the preparation that's required, with what actually happened 11 days earlier when the condos went down, they are virtually indistinguishable and bear a striking resemblance to Building 7 on 9/11. Which that went down at 5:20 in the afternoon, 7 hours after the destruction of the North Tower, which followed the destruction of the South by completely different mechanisms. All these buildings in Florida and Building 7 came down, all the floors coming straight down together, and when it was over, they left a pile of debris equal to about 12% of the height of the original, which in the case of the Building 7 was 47 floors or 5.5 floors of debris. The Twin Towers, by contrast, are blowing apart in every direction from the top down. All the floors remain stationary. They're being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust, and when it's over, there's nothing left. And Father Frank Morales, who is a first responder from St. Mark's Episcopal Church, came on my shows twice and emphasized that those buildings were both destroyed to or even slightly below ground level. In other words, they were a demolition under control, but in a completely different fashion than the classic controlled demolitions of what appears to have taken place in Florida with Building 7 in New York on 9/11.
Now, I want to add something. I was talking about John Lear for a reason. It's because John, he was the highest rated pilot in the world because he has all these clearances for everything. He said he flew that plane that reportedly hit the tower on 9/11. He says, so I did it for court on two lawsuits that they won. If they had hit, because the way the building was designed to take an aircraft hit, such as a jet, he said that wings would have broke off, fell to the ground visibly outside, and the tail section would have fallen off. Otis told me it was holograms called phantom technology, some of our latest stuff. They can do it off of fighter jets, say an old F-16 or the B-2 stealth, whatever they're flying. And they can send off 10 to 12, 1,300, excuse me, 1,000 to 1,300 miles in front of them and control the hologram with a joystick. You think you see it, you hear it, and the whole bit. Otis told me they used that on 9/11. Now, if people remember, there was one that looked like a left wing, the first hit on building, or the first building, and then the second tower. But remember, I don't know whether you ever saw it, Jim, but I can post it back up. Joe, you may have seen it. When one of those buildings was hit, a double space came out in smoke, and people took pictures of it. I have one. I can repost it on my site. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Now, I understand from a former prosecutor friend of mine, she's telling me, and another one, former prosecutor, are saying that the guy with the software is who the target was, that they had in Germany and killed. He had too much. He designed the software like it wasn't Norton. What's it called? McAfee. McAfee was in the building. Now, McAfee was good friends with some guy named Badley, who was a preacher that was exposed in Israel as what they are, a bunch of crap heads. Look, these people don't know who God was, period. And they turned against him. But here's the point. Badley was given the rights, and he lived in the condo project that fell in Florida. But it was McAfee. Because he came public, McAfee files, he came public with what the government had installed in his software that they paid him to do it, and he came public after he found out what they used it for. And it was all kinds of dirty deeds of the Clinton, Bushes, and Milman crime syndicate, period. That's what I'm being told, Jim. What do you know about that, or Joe? And I believe the tower in Florida came down from the death ray. I maintained that from the beginning, the way it dropped.
Joe, no, it appears to have been nuclear, Stu. It wasn't a directed energy weapon. It was a nuclear event. The U.S. Geological Survey studied dust samples from 35 locations and found a host of elements that would not have been present had it not been a nuclear event, including barium, lithium, strontium, lanthanum, radioactive form.
Okay, and I won't argue with your findings. From the beginning, I just maintained that it was like 911, pancake dial. Now, it's
building seven, yes, but not the Twin Towers.
I'm talking about the building in Florida McAfee lived in, the condo, and Baddeley. Yep. And Baddeley was the preacher that was his good friend who happened to be in the building that the diamond collapsed last known. McAfee gave him his files. In the event of McAfee's death, he was to release those files publicly.
McAfee, yeah, but Stu, it would be stupid for McAfee to tell the world where the files were.
He didn't tell the world where the files were. He told a friend of mine who was his friend, a former prosecutor.
I've seen it. I've got a tweet where he's spelling this out, and I think the tweet has to be fraudulent.
When did he spell this out? I'm just telling you where my source came from, Jim, not somebody spelling it out. It was a prosecutor friend of his, known him for years. They tried to help him at one time, couldn't do it, was the one that recently told me what the scoop was in their opinion. I'm just telling you, throwing mine out there. You're telling me you've heard something also.
Yeah.
Joe, you want to add to that?
No, I don't know much about that, Stu.
Okay. But there's something in McAfee's files that tied the Clintons, the Bushes, Melmans, all the crime syndicate in the hidden trap back door that he put in a software for the government to do the intrusion upon the American people and anybody that bought a software. After he made the money, and he's monitoring them, not them not knowing that he's monitoring them, and they think they're scot-free playing the Innslaw game type deal. Joe, you're aware of that type. It didn't happen. And McAfee had started contacting former prosecutors. They contacted me recently and told me that story. So I'm just passing it along.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So go ahead, Jim.
Well, we also have a situation of emerging proof of the tech giants working hand-in-hand with the Democrats to suppress Trump supporters and conservative voices. This will not come as a surprise to you, Stu, but it's become much more blatant, and now there's evidence of specific governmental entities directing Facebook and Twitter whose sites they ought to suppress, what to approve and what not, which is as blatant a violation of the First Amendment as we could have. Very, very disturbing.
I know the way they're attacking anybody, such as you, me, Joe, everybody. Now, Joe, you want to comment on that?
Well, this is where I think the next big shoe to drop, which will be sometime, in my opinion, between August the 1st and the midterm elections, and that is that Whitney Webb identified as the cyber polygon. And this is where the...
Unlimited hangout, Joe, give the side up. Whitney Webb, no relationship, great reporter, excellent story she's come out with. I know because I read the Brockman series. Very true. She's hit a lot of good stuff. It's called unlimitedhangout.com. Unlimitedhangout.com is her website. Go ahead, Joe.
So anyway, what she has identified is that the grid is going to be hacked. They already, a good example of what I'm talking about is what happened back east in North Carolina, South Carolina, where the grid was hacked and they couldn't ship the gasoline. And so apparently they, under Klaus Schreiber, Klaus Schreiber of the World Economic Forum, made the announcement that they are going to, sometime during the month of July, they are going to run a simulation game of where the net and every electronic thing is being hacked. And so they're saying, and she's saying, after they've done it a few times, which they already have, they're going to be on the on net and all electronics and transactions. They're going to crash it for real.
Now, what happened at Davos? Jim, are you aware?
Say that again.
At the Davos, D-A-V-O-S meeting recently, you know what happened shortly thereafter?
Tell me.
This is what I'm hearing. I got to dig in deep on it. I heard it from a spook, a couple of them. They got the worldwide pension funds tied to the derivatives now. Now, Kemper Securities, or not Kemper, but Fidelity, Denver, Colorado, Norman Brownstein, on the board of directors with Neil Bush of Silverado. Larry Mizell runs Western Great West Life, that was my ex-father-in-law's companies, Great West Life, that owns HSBC Bank, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, the largest in the world. They're always coming up with drug money and illegal money they're laundering. They laundered it through there out of Silverado. Now, Mizell controls through Great West Life, 44% of U.S. pension funds. Brownstein controls about 48% pension funds through Fidelity. Now, they were both law school partners hired by Leonard Milman, my ex-witch doctor's father. That's my problem. He's dead now, but he hired them both out of law school, out of Boulder in 1972. One, he had done his first apartment while he was in law school with Milman, rehab, a 16-unit apartment called the Hooker Apartments in Denver, Colorado. What a name. He hires him, scumbag Larry Mizell. As Otis Johnson said in 2004, whatever lived to your father-in-law lived for thousands of years. And he says, before he inhabited him. And he said, now he's inhabiting Larry Mizell because he was chosen by the council to be the one, the 13. Which includes the devil, the Council of 12, Council of 13, they refer to him as. Now, Brownstein and Mizell were partners. Mizell took on the job at, Milman could get him as many HUD projects as he could build. Apartment complexes, let's set up MDC Holdings, the parent company of Silverado, Richmond American Homes, one of the top builders in the country. General Homes of Texas, one that was the largest in Texas, before he bankrupted and took it over, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These two, Brownstein and Mizell, who were in control of the Jewish mob in America and control Bibi Netanyahu, are the ones that took over from my ex-in-law, Leonard Milman. Leonard Milman took over from Meyer Lansky. Milman killed Bugsy Siegel. I got the proof and evidence. He was in the OSS with Daddy Bush. It goes way back with this Jewish bastard. And his dad owns GFC Finance Company that laundered money for Prescott Bush during World War II. Out of Chicago, Friendly Bob. It goes way back. Point is, these are the evil ones, not Brownstein. And you'll like this one, Jim. Brownstein bought part of the steel on the World Trade Center to put in his Mizell Museum in Denver. Mizell Museum on Monaco of Judea, the Mizell Judea. Now, what's that center out there in L.A., Joe? The Jewish Center. Joe?
I don't know what you'd be talking about, Stu.
Oh, the one that puts out disinformation all the time, that put out disinformation on 911 all the time. There's a big Jewish center out there. Mizell and Brownstein are both on the board of directors of it. Okay? They push all the Southern Poverty Jewish fake law center stuff they put out after Oklahoma City 911, the radical rights, all that crap. I can't think of the name of center. But these are the two cats and gators that control the United States Congress, Brownstein and Mizell. Both APEC directors. Here's the point. These two just stole your pension funds. Are you working for a corporation? You working for Amazon? You working for some corporation right now? You making a living? You listening to Stu Webb right now. Guess what? They just took your pension funds. It's called DABOS. You'll see a meltdown of the pension funds here very shortly. Go ahead, Jim. Joel.
Well, Stu, I got one more story for you. It begins by observing 1% control the world. 4% are their puppets. 90% are asleep. 5% know and try to wake the 90%. The 1% use a 4% to prevent the 5% from waking up the 90%. Now, we've had a remarkable merge of powerful forces because Bill Benny of NSA fame has now married Dr. Catherine Horton, who's a particle physicist from Oxford and who's been leading the legal opposition to the use of these directed energy devices to torment individuals. So to celebrate their marriage, but also the 4th of July, I created a blog. You can find it at jamesfetzer.org. 4th of July special with Neil Benny and Dr. Catherine Horton, how to spot a false flag, because Catherine and I had in the past done a four-part series going through a dozen or 15 or more false flag events where she was the host and offering comments and questions to my presentation of these various false flags, where I did it in segments, like about five slides or stories, and I explained how we know it was a false flag for one event, then for another, going back and forth and covering a huge range. So I want to encourage everyone out there to educate themselves with it to a point where they can detect and avoid being played. Go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org and not only watch the presentation by Bill Benny and Catherine Horton, but check out the four-parter where Catherine and I go through, I say, a dozen to 15 different events and explain how we know they were staged. And that will enable you to better avoid yourself from being played in the future.
Now, Jim, that's a very good point. Now, these, by the way, folks, amazing, www.amazing1, just the number one, .com. But I have the link to the energy weapon that you can actually use. It's silent and deadly, and someone will have a heart attack and die. But they sell another weapon for $150 as well. It's kind of a weapon. It detects if you're being shot by someplace, energy weapon, and where it's coming from. Oh, God, I'd love to have a $325 donation just to take care of both those weapons. I know Jim would love to have one. I know Joe would love to have one. Folks, if you don't have them, go up there and look for them. Now, one detects, so if you're a target, you can find out for $150 tax. Go ahead, Jim.
Stu, that was the story I wanted to conclude with. So I'd leave everybody with opportunity here to learn so much more. Go to jamesfetzer.org. And you'll find it's the most recent blog. and you're going to learn more than you ever imagined. You'll be dumbfounded by some of the cases which you thought were real, but in fact were staged.
Hey, I'm in agreement with you. Now, Joe, what do you got to add? Any last comments, or do you have anything?
No, that's about it, Stu.
Okay, now, we're talking about what Whitney Webb talked about. Now, you've dug into this heavily. I've seen the attacks. I've seen the cyber terrorist attacks. I'm talking to other people that are experiencing it as well, that have websites. Now, Jim, you experienced it recently, a while back. What was it, a couple, 3 weeks ago? They banged your computers and your phone system and your internet and everything like they've done with me, crashing everything, ruining everything. I mean, this is typical business. They're in business now doing it again. Now, Jim, you got hit pretty hard, didn't you?
Well, I'm back in action, Sue. Yeah, Everything's good. I'm very glad.
It's always we're getting pounded on.
Well, of course.
Hey, if we're out here on screaming from the rooftops like Jim and me and Joe, hey, folks, I'm asking for them for contributions. It could help me. I could use it. I'm down to nothing. But I know they can have help because right now, anybody on the front line, they are costing them money, period. With that said, I think everybody said enough. I want to thank you, Jim Fetzer, Professor Fetzer, and Professor Joe both for being on with me.
Our pleasure, Stu.
Our pleasure.
Okay, remember, folks, prayer works. Have a good one. Talk to you both.